This is Warbird Radio.
Hey, it's Matt from Warbird Radio Live. Listen, if you're trying to find something special for one of your aviation buddies, visit us online at warbirdradio.com/deals, D-E-A-L-S, warbirdradio.com/deals for some great offers from aviation memorabilia, just the cool stuff that all pilots will enjoy. You can find it at warbirdradio.com/deals. And remember, every dollar that you spend there on the deals page or even through our Amazon store, which is on the right side of the screen there, it helps keep the station on the air. And boy, every penny helps, and we certainly appreciate your business. Warbirdradio.com/deals.
Jeff Harold here from Shaden Precision Eyewear. Shaden offers unmatched headset comfort with the best in titanium and composite frames and non-polarized lenses. Eyewear for the true aviator. Visit us online now at Shaden.com. That's Scheyden.com. Again, Scheyden.com. Be sure to enter the promo code Warbird, and you're going to receive 30% off your order. Visit Shaden.com right now. Put in Warbird and get 30% off.
Our thanks to our friends at Aerospace Specialties, the industry standard for quality, craftsmanship, and precision. When it comes to handcrafted compound-formed Warbird parts, look no further than our friends at Aerospace Specialties. They've been doing this since 1971, and they're standing by now for your order. Aerospace Specialties, call them today, 304-647-5024. That's 304-647-5024.
Reminding you that radial engines don't leak oil. They just mark their territory. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
Welcome to the Wings Over New Zealand show with Dave Homewood.
Welcome to the Wings Over New Zealand show. I'm Dave Homewood. The following recording was made during a telephone conversation between myself and Wing Commander Tom Horton, DSO, DFC and BAR, Pathfinder Force. Tom was an RNZF pilot during World War II, during which he flew the Ferry Battles, Bristol Blenheims, Douglas Bostons and de Havilland Mosquitoes. He then went on to a long career after the war, flying such aircraft as the Avro Shackleton and the Lockheed Neptune. Tom now lives in Virginia in the USA. Back in May 2012, Tom gave me a call, and this recording was made. It was never originally intended to become an episode of the Wings Over New Zealand show, but with such interesting content, I asked Tom if he would allow it, and he agreed. So let's get into it. I'll start back at the beginning. I believe you were born in Masterton, were you?
That's right, in Marsden on the 29th of December, 1919.
Right, okay. And you grew up in Marsden?
Yep. I grew up there and went to the Wairarapa High School.
Yeah.
And then went into a law office for a couple of years.
Oh, okay.
And then during that period, I joined the Civil Reserve of pilots.
Right, okay.
And learnt to fly. And then, of course, when war came along, I said, oh, hell, this is marvellous. Now I can go and fly airplanes rather than sitting in a law office.
So where did you...
You know, that's the way you think when you're 18 or 19 or something, rather.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Where did you actually learn to fly when you were in the Civil Reserve? Was that at Wairarapa, or...?
Yes, at the Wairarapa airfield, the Hood Aerodrome, as it was then.
Right, it still is. It still is that.
It still is, isn't it?
Yes, yep. In fact, it's a very interesting place now.
Do they, by chance, still have some of their old de Havilland Moths?
I think there's one or two flying in New Zealand around, but I couldn't tell you where they are at the moment.
I'll tell you what. ZKABE. ZKACD or ZKADL. They were the three aeroplanes I learned to fly on.
Right, okay. Yeah, I think most of the moths from back in the pre-war and wartime days, I don't think any of them are still around, but I'll check into it.
Yeah, I doubt whether they are either, frankly.
Yeah.
Somebody probably bent them, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
One way or another.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, get on, let's get on.
Okay, so you learned to fly, and you get called up at the beginning of the war. Where did you go when you were first called up?
First of all, Lord, I went to a training place near Palmerston North. Then I went up to New Plymouth and did a bit of flying up there.
Right.
And then I went down to Blenheim and flew Vickers Wildebeest.
Ah, okay. What did you think of those after the moths?
They were big. they were nice old things to fly, really and truly.
Yeah.
And I think we all kind of enjoyed life there.
Right, okay.
Now, that gets us to April or May 1940.
Yep.
And then I got on the, I think, after final leave, got on the boat the end of April or the beginning of May. Can't tell you exactly.
Yep.
On the Mataroa.
Okay.
And proceeded to England.
Right, okay.
It was a nice long trip. We enjoyed it. We stopped off at Bermuda. Stopped off at Panama, stopped off in Bermuda.
Yeah.
And then from Bermuda we went up to Halifax, although we didn't pull into Halifax.
Right.
We joined up with a convoy out of Halifax and went over and landed at Avonmouth in England.
Okay, yep.
Can remember that.
Right.
Then got a train to Uxbridge near London.
Yeah.
And got stuck there doing drill and this, that and the other thing for a Oh, by the way, by that time I'd reached the exalted rank of sergeant pilot.
Right, okay, yep.
And then from there I was posted to Benson.
Yep.
Near Oxford.
Yep.
To learn to fly fairy battles.
Ah, okay.
A very unprepossessing aeroplane. It had the same engine as a Hurricane, and it was about twice as heavy and half as fast. if you get what I mean.
Yeah, exactly, yep.
And from Benson, I was posted over to Sydenham in Belfast.
Oh, right, yep.
Doing army co-op exercises.
Yeah.
And anti-shipping patrols.
Right, okay.
Around Northern Ireland and back again sort of thing, you know.
Yeah.
I guess it was quite important. I didn't sink any submarines or anything, but I guess it was... It helped to keep the heads down.
Right. And is this still in the ferry battles, or had you moved on to another
this
type?
This was still in the ferry battles.
Okay.
Yes.
So at that stage, I guess the Battle of France would have been over. You would have known that...
Oh, yes, because the squadron I was with, or at least the remnants of the squadron I was with...
Yeah.
Well, it was 88 Squadron.
Okay, yep.
And they had bailed out of France.
Right.
Having been well and truly beaten up there.
Yeah, okay. I guess there mustn't have been a particularly good attitude towards the battle then, towards the ferry battle, after the Battle of France, when it had failed so badly.
Oh, well, I don't know. Look, in those days, you know, there wasn't much option.
Right.
There was an aeroplane, and you were told to get in it and go and do something.
Right, yeah.
And you didn't quibble about it.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that. We're looking at it with hindsight rather than... Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
It was different then.
Yes.
I didn't know, for instance, that it was an awful damned aeroplane and shouldn't have been flying, but there wasn't anything else.
Right, okay. What was it like being stationed in Ireland at that time? Because I guess the Battle of Britain was going on at the time.
Well, yes, but Belfast was half Catholic Irish and half Protestant Irish.
Right.
And you had to mind your P's and Q's about who you were mixing with or talking to when you went into town, because otherwise you might find yourself in the opposite camp, whichever the opposite camp was.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Frankly, there were half a dozen New Zealanders, and we didn't know what the hell was going on there at all.
Okay. Who were the other Kiwis with you?
Dave Metherill, Eric Cooper.
Yeah.
Hmm. Can't remember his name. I think there were three or four of us anyway.
Right.
All wound up on battles.
Okay.
But Dave Metherill and Eric Cooper were two of them.
Right, okay.
I always remember one evening after a few jugs, we found that the boys had been digging up the main street in Belfast.
Yeah.
And left their gear, so we thought we'd dig it up too. a bit of light amusement, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, we finished up there and were sent off to a station called RAF Swanton Morley in Norfolk.
Right.
Where we re-equipped with Blenheims.
Okay, yep.
And we only stayed at Swanton Morley for about a month or 6 weeks. And this is still with 88 Squadron.
Yes, yep.
And then we moved to another station in Norfolk called Attlebridge.
Right.
And there we did mostly anti-shipping patrols, although my first operation ever in the war, you know, when you're likely to get shot at,
yeah,
was a low-level raid on Rotterdam.
Okay.
In Holland.
Okay.
I was number 17 of 18.
Oh.
In the formation.
Right, so almost tail end Charlie.
I was tail end Charlie,
yeah.
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
Then, what the devil happened? Oh, then somebody got the... By this time, we were in December 41.
Okay, yep.
And I and my crew were told to ferry a Blenheim out to Malta.
Right.
Which was all absolutely spiffy. We didn't know that going out to Malta and taking part in shipping strikes in the Mediterranean was more or less a suicide mission. Nobody got around to telling us.
Okay.
Oh, the other chap, other New Zealander who was with us was Russell Stewart.
Oh, right.
He was from, I think, the South Island.
Right, okay.
Anyway, Russ had gone out a couple of months before. He was posted to the Middle East, to Malta.
Yeah.
And I was on the way out. Well, the only thing that happened on the trip out was that just as we were coming into land, now you've got to remember that Gibraltar runway then was only about 500 or 600 yards long.
Right.
And so the idea was you dragged in from North Feet, dragging in on your props and full flap and everything else. Well, at that stage, the port propeller fell off.
Oh.
And this didn't, and so I decided that rather than hit the concrete wall at the end of the runway, I would ditch it in the sea, which I did.
Okay.
So anyway, having spent about 3 weeks or a month in Gibraltar, I was ferried off home in a big flying boat? Coastal Command.
The Sunderland, was it?
Sunderland, yes.
Yep.
Got on. That's another story. This was out there to carry the Commander-in-Chief Coastal Command back.
Oh, all right.
To England. I don't know, he'd been out to Gib for an inspection or something. Well, they filled the bloody thing up with salt water instead of gas.
Oh.
So there was a bit of a delay while they took it to bits, cleaned it all out, and the old man got another one out to take him home.
Right.
Anyway, back I went to 88 Squadron in Norfolk, and we re-equipped with Douglas Bostons,
right.
A-20.
Yep.
And did some more anti-shipping strikes and circuses. Circus was a bunch of bombers, probably half a dozen, even 12, over France or the Low Country, hopefully to get up some German fighters for Fighter Command,
yeah,
to put some Spitfires up and have a go at them.
So you were the bait.
We were the bait.
Oh.
And this went all right. I've got shot up by 190 once, but no particular trouble. And
yeah,
I was brought home by a Polish squadron who looked after me beautifully.
Right.
And then my tour finished, and so I was posted to teach people how to make blind landings, standard beam approach sort of thing.
Yep, yep.
And I did that for a year, and did actually learn to fly very well on instruments, funnily enough.
Oh, okay.
That was at back at Attlebridge again.
Right, right.
In Norfolk. Then I was posted to 105 Squadron at Marham in Norfolk.
Yeah.
And switching from daylight, basically low-level ops, changed to night high-level in the Dear Old Mosquito.
Right, right.
And first of all, we operated from Marham. Now, I got there, I think it was August, July, 43. My first trip in a Mosquito with a good chap, a good friend called Squadron Leader Channer.
Mm-hmm.
He was sitting in the right side seat and had no controls whatsoever. And he told me what to do, so I did it. And when we got to about 20 feet in the air, the port engine quit, blew up.
Oh, no.
And I always have felt sorry for poor old Pete Channer, because he knew how to fly these things quite well. I didn't.
Yeah.
And there was nothing he could do except tell me what to do. So anyway, we toddled around the circuit and landed, and all was well. So then, that was, let me see, August 43, and I stayed with 105 Squadron until April or May or June, no, I think later than that, September, October, 45.
Right, okay.
I did 30 trips in two group with 88 Squadron, and I did another 80, they say 81, with 8 Pathfinder group.
Yep.
From first of all Marham, and then from Bourne near Cambridge.
Right.
And in the meantime, if it's any of interest to you, I got married in December 43.
Okay, yep.
What else can I tell you?
Well, just going back to the Blenheims, can you tell me a little bit about what they were like to fly, especially on these low-level ops?
Well, they were a nice aeroplane to fly. They weren't a very good aeroplane to go to war in, because I think their top speed was, they said it was 220. Well, I never got one above about 180, and generally speaking, we wandered around the sky at about 160 or 170.
Right, okay.
While the 109s were pottering about at about 300, you know,
right.
250, 300.
Right,
wasn't
right.
Good. No, I mean, they were outdated, you know.
Yes,
they
yes.
were a bit like the Stuka, JO-87.
Yeah.
They were fine if they didn't have any opposition.
Right, right. Okay.
But they were not good against first-line enemy fighters. Let's put it that way.
Right, yeah. What sort of bomb load were you carrying with the Blenheims?
1,000 pounds, 4 250s.
Oh, okay, okay. And so you were basically hunting for ships?
Ships or... as I said, being bait
yeah.
for 11 group fighters to try to shoot down some Hun fighters.
Right. And when you were being the bait on these circus operations, were you also dropping bombs where you could? Or were...
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Basically, in the Low Countries and northern France.
Right, okay, okay. What do you think was your scariest trip in the Blenheim, other than ditching at Malta? You know, actually on operations, what were the really dangerous ones that you went through?
Not that I knew it,
yeah.
But the trip to Rotterdam was.
Right, yeah.
And then that was when Huey Edwards, an Australian... Group Captain Edwards.
Yeah.
Know the name?
I have heard of it, yeah.
Okay. Well, he led the thing and got a BC out of it.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now it's clicks, yeah.
But, you know, I was a nice little sprog then, and I hadn't a clue what was going on.
Right.
I just did what I was told and to the best of my ability.
Well, it just says something that if the leader gets a Victoria Cross, then it must have been a hell of a mission, so...
Well, I suppose it was. But, you know, looking back on it, Dave, I feel that an awful lot of medals... I won't say they were... undeserved,
yeah.
But I think they were politically motivated.
Okay. Right.
Far be it from me to say that the guys who got the gongs didn't deserve them.
No.
That's not what I mean.
No.
I mean that, A, you had to be damn lucky to survive.
Right.
That was the first thing.
Yep.
And then you probably had to be in the right place, doing the right thing at the right time when, you know, somebody thought it'd be a good idea to dish out a couple more gongs or something.
Okay, I see what you mean, yes, yeah.
I'm not trying to decry the efforts of the boys who got them at all.
No.
But, well, you know, you couldn't give gongs to everybody, so
yeah.
you had to toss a coin and Somebody got them and somebody didn't.
Right, right, I see, yeah. The stepping up to the Boston must have been quite a big step, was it?
Boston was a damn good aeroplane.
Yeah.
A much better deal than the Blenheim.
I guess it was a faster, was it?
Hmm?
Was it faster?
Yes, it was, I would say probably about half as fast again.
Okay, okay.
Not quite, but getting that way, you know.
Right, right.
And it was a very solid aeroplane. It took quite a lot of punishment.
Oh, okay, right, right. They must have given you a lot more confidence then once you got onto them.
Oh, we thought they were wonderful.
Yeah.
Wizard things.
Yeah, yeah.
But nothing like my Mosquito.
Right.
That was the greatest thing ever. It damn well was, you know. It was as good as... It was as fast as any fighter.
Yes, yeah, yeah. That's a remarkable aircraft, that's for sure.
Oh, it was a beautiful aeroplane.
Yeah. I'm sure that Deborah has told you, I mentioned to her that we've got a Mosquito that's been restored here, and it's going to fly later this year. And then it'll be coming over to Virginia, so you could hopefully get to see it.
Yeah. Where's it coming to in Virginia?
Virginia Beach.
Virginia Beach.
Yeah.
Well, when you get it here, or something like that, please give me a call and I will drive down and renew my acquaintance with it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Do you have, you're living in the USA, do you have many other Kiwis around there, or do you keep in touch with anybody?
No, I don't.
Okay.
There are no New Zealanders here now that I know of.
Right, right.
There are New Zealanders here, but I don't know them.
Right, right, yeah. Okay. So the Mosquito, you were on a Pathfinder squadron. Were you dropping markers or bombs or both?
Markers.
Markers, okay.
Oh, well, no, markers and bombs, yes. I dropped a number of bombs.
Right.
Just to, more or less be a nuisance.
Okay.
And we wound up carrying the 4,000-pound cookie.
Right, okay.
Now, don't forget the Mosquito was designed to carry four 250-pound bombs.
Right, yeah.
It then was slightly modified to carry two 500-pound bombs.
Yep.
At least, I'm sorry, four 250s, then it was redesigned a bit to carry four 500-pound bombs.
Okay, yep.
Then they hung a couple on the wings, so we had six 500-pound bombs. Then they modified it a bit more and crammed a cookie into the bomb bay.
Wow.
And ultimately, I think I flew one with a cookie and two 500s hanging on the wings.
Wow, that's remarkable.
So, you know, that was a 5,000-pound load instead of a 1,000-pound load.
Wow, isn't that amazing?
Now, they had crammed in a couple of bigger engines, you know. They started off at 1250, I think it was, 1250 horsepower.
Yep.
And stepped it up to 1650 or something like that.
Right, right.
So, but she flew beautifully, whatever you hung on her.
Yes, yes. And I guess you had fairly technical navigation gear and radar gear, that sort of thing on.
Oh, yeah. I meant to tell you. We were what was called an oboe squadron.
Ah,
have you heard of oboes?
I have, yes.
Yeah, well, that limited our range from the UK because it was line of sight, so line of sight radar.
Yeah.
So it meant that we couldn't get all that far beyond the Ruhr.
Right.
because it was, well, we got up to 36,000, but that was the best the old girl would do.
Yeah, yeah.
And that limited our range to about 250 or so miles from the ground station.
Right, right. What was it like to fly up that high at 36,000? Was it sluggish up there or faster?
No, it was just the same as flying at 3,600, really.
Okay.
No, it was all right. The only problem was it was so damn cold.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll bet.
Now, you could, in the Mark 16 Mosquito, you could have heat or cockpit pressurization.
Right.
Well, the whole thing was we chose heat.
Right.
It was more comfortable.
Okay, okay.
Now, the Mosquito I liked was the Mark 9.
Right.
That was a beautiful aeroplane.
Okay.
It was more, shall we say, lively, more lively than the 16, because the 16 had the enlarged bomb bay for the cookie.
Yep.
And it wasn't quite as nice to fly.
Right, okay.
But the Mark 9 was a delightful aeroplane.
Okay. This is Warbird Radio.
Hey, it's Matt from Warbird Radio Live. Listen, if you're trying to find something special for one of your aviation buddies, visit us online at warbirdradio.com/deals, DEALS, warbirdradio.com/deals for some great offers from aviation memorabilia. Just a cool stuff that all pilots will enjoy. You can find it at warbirdradio.com/deals. And remember, every dollar that you spend there on the deals page or even through our Amazon store, which is on the right side of the screen there, it helps keep the station on the air. And boy, every penny helps. And we certainly appreciate your business. Warbirdradio.com/deals.
Jeff Harold here from Shaden Precision Eyewear. Shaden offers unmatched headset comfort with the best in titanium and composite frames and non-polarized lenses. Eyewear for the true aviator. Visit us online now at Shaden.com. That's Scheyden.com. Again, Scheyden.com. Be sure to enter the promo code Warbird, and you're going to receive 30% off your order. Visit Shaden.com right now. Put in Warbird and get 30% off.
Our thanks to our friends at Aerospace Specialties, the industry standard for quality, craftsmanship, and precision. When it comes to handcrafted compound-formed Warbird parts, look no further than our friends at Aerospace Specialties. They've been doing this since 1971, and they're standing by now for your order. Aerospace Specialties, call them today, 304-647-5024. That's 304-647-5024.
Reminding you that radial engines don't leak oil. They just mark their territory. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
Did you ever do any daytime stuff in the Mosquitoes? Any daytime operations?
Oh, occasionally flying bomb stuff.
Oh, right.
In the northern France and the Low Countries.
Right, okay.
We took over. First of all, we marked for the heavies in daytime, and then we did a few sorties leading them. In other words, we'd have half a dozen, I think, Langs trailing along behind us, and we were almost on the stall, and they were flat out, you know,
wow.
Sort of thing.
Yep.
But that was the only daylight stuff we did. Oh, a few marking trips around the invasion area.
Okay.
You know, after D-Day.
Yeah. And after D-Day, did the squadron move into Europe, or did you stay in Britain?
No. We stayed in the UK. And,
right.
Because our ground stations didn't permit us to go far enough.
No.
To warrant going into Europe.
Right.
So we stayed put.
Yeah, I see what you mean, yeah.
And I think we did Well, the squadron did quite a few marking operations to help the army, you know.
Yeah.
Bombing tanks and this sort of thing.
Okay.
I think I did one or two, and I did it. I came home the morning of D-Day, and I wondered what the devil was going on. I've never seen so many aeroplanes, probably never will see so many aeroplanes in the sky. They were all going out, and I was coming home.
Right.
And I said to my navigator, what the devil's going on? And he said, I don't know. Anyway, we came home, got debriefed, and went to bed, and woke up, went to the mess for lunch, and learned that the invasion was taking place.
Wow.
And it was that well-kept secret.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing.
We knew nothing about it.
That's amazing. What was your target that morning?
I think it was the guns on the coast that the Americans attacked.
Oh, right.
Omaha.
Yes.
The guns above Omaha. I think it was.
Okay.
But I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Because I was given a different name, or at least I was given a name, and that didn't ever appear. It may well have been that we bombed somewhere else as a decoy. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway.
Either way, you're still part of the invasion. It would have all been part of the plan.
Part of the invasion, although I knew nothing about it.
Yeah, yeah. Fascinating stuff. When you look back, what was the most satisfying trip or trips that you did in terms of targets?
Oh, bombing the Ruhr.
Right.
Essen, Dusseldorf, Cologne, you know, the big cities of the Ruhr.
Right, right, okay.
It was quite an extraordinary sight. From 32,000, where we normally bombed from, you look down and the whole damn place was on fire.
Wow.
It was quite extraordinary, really.
As the marker, did you have to hang around for a while and remark, or...?
No. We dumped our four reds, red target indicators,
yeah,
and went home.
Okay. Yeah.
Then the heavies came in and dropped the greens either on our markers or on our reds or somewhere else, you know, because they thought we'd dropped them in the wrong place.
Right, right.
Or they, you know, they lined it up a bit better for the,
right,
for
I
the
see.
Main force.
Yep.
But there was the three markers, colours. The reds that we dropped, the greens that the heavy pathfinders dropped,
yeah,
and the yellows that they dropped to say, don't bomb here.
Ah, okay, I didn't know that.
But the Ruhr took a pasting and we helped do it.
Right, right, okay. And at the end of the war, did you stay on in the RNZF
no,
or RAF?
What happened was I was sent out, or I went to a couple of odd stations in England and then went out to the Middle East and to Aden.
Yeah.
And then to Athens in Greece.
Oh, okay.
Got there just after their civil war, and it was a shambles.
Yeah.
I might tell you. Anyway, I took over 55 Squadron for a couple of months there, or 6 months or something.
Yeah.
And they were re-equipping from Boston's to Mosquitoes, but then some genius said, you'd better go back to England and do officers' advanced training school course.
Right.
Well, after I'd done that, I went down to New Zealand House and said, hey, how about going back to New Zealand? I'm sick of this.
Yeah.
Holliday said, we'll get you on the boat. So they did. And I went back to New Zealand at the end of 46.
Okay.
Well, then one with my wife and a daughter.
Right.
Who was 2 years old or something then. Anyway, having sort of looked around out there and saw, endeavored to see what was going on and what was happening, I got a letter from the Air Ministry in London saying that they had reconsidered and would grant my war service towards seniority. Was I still interested in a permanent commission?
Oh, okay.
And I said, yes, I was, and returned to England after being in New Zealand for about 9 months, got back to England about a year after we left.
Ah, right, right.
And spent the next 20-odd years with the, where was it? I went back in 46, yes, another 20 years in the RAF.
Ah, okay. So what did you fly after you got back into the RAF?
Of any operational interest, I did a little bit of training and that sort of thing on Shackleton, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
And what the devil was the squadron number? Can't remember. It anyway, we were flying Neptunes,
T2V5. Yep, yep. Okay. What were they like?
A nice aircraft. They weren't very high performance, but they were a good aeroplane. They'd fly over the damn sea for 20 hours. And I suppose that was a good idea for a patrol aircraft.
Yep, yep.
No, they were good. They had the big Wright Cyclone 3350 WA engine.
Yeah.
And it really was quite an engine.
Right. Okay. So was that sort of the bulk of your career was on the Neptune then?
Yes, okay. Yes, after the war.
Yeah.
After that, I went to Staff College, I did a couple of tours at the Air Ministry, I went to Gibraltar on the staff.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And then I wound up here in the Pentagon.
Ah.
On the NATO staff on the staff of the NATO military committee.
Right. Well, that's something rather interesting, isn't it? There can't have been many Kiwis in the Pentagon.
There weren't.
Yeah.
I was the one, I think.
Okay. Okay.
I did my two-year stint in the Pentagon.
Yep.
And enjoyed it, funnily enough. Lots of people say, oh, my God, the Pentagon. Yes. But I enjoyed it because, look, we had an international staff. Germans, Italians, Turks, Brits, Americans.
Yep.
Even one New Zealander.
Right. So,
it was quite good, and frankly, it was a diplomatic thing, really. We spent half our time going to NATO cocktail parties and things.
Sounds good.
it was nothing to do with being in a war machine.
Right, right, okay.
And that's it.
Right. Just take you back to the war. One other question that I meant to ask about the social life. How did you on squadron? How did you sort of relax between ops, that sort of thing?
Well, first of all, I was fortunate to spend most of my war in Norfolk and going to either Cambridge.
Yeah.
Or Norwich.
Oh, yep, yep.
Both of which had good pubs.
Right.
And we'd drop into Cambridge for a couple of beers in the evening, or we'd go into Norwich earlier on to the Castle Hotel.
Right.
For a couple of beers.
Yeah.
I was there. I met my wife. No, it wasn't. I met my wife at a doctor's house. His wife took under her wing a number of the colonial troops, the Canadians, the Australians, the New Zealanders, and
right.
that sort of thing.
Right, yeah.
And, oh, Lord, she had a party there probably every night.
Okay.
And there I met my wife, but it was 18 months before we finally got married.
Oh, okay. Right, right.
And she we were married for 68 years. She only died last October.
Oh, right. I'm sorry to hear that.
You know, that. But as far as recreational stuff, it was either going into Norwich or later on Cambridge,
yep.
or going down to London. Oh, I must tell you, I was in London one night, and I walked into a hotel on the Strand and ran into three or four Kiwis.
Right.
Sitting around the bar, one of whom was Frank Hogg from Masterton. Anyway, I was staying at a, what would you call it, or a sort of officers' club or something or other, and Frank said to me, "Look, I've got an extra bed in my room. Why don't you stay here instead of trying to wander all the way home?" Because there was a bit of an air raid on and that sort of thing. I said, "Oh, that's a good idea. Let's have another beer, you know, sort
yeah,
of thing."
Yeah.
Well, I went back in the morning, and all that was left of where my room was a damn great hole.
Oh, wow.
Because a 2,000-pound bomb had hit it.
Wow.
And if I'd wandered off home to this place, I wouldn't be talking it to you today.
No. Wow. That's amazing.
You know, it's all a matter of luck. And I'll tell you something else. When we were in Sydenham in Belfast,
yep.
The Jerrys came over and dropped some bombs one night. Well, one guy came up the road and he dropped six bombs.
Right.
One, two, three, and then 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
And each one was getting a bit closer, and I was a bit upset about this. Then he dropped number 5, and then number 6. Now, the only one that didn't go bang was number 5, which was about 6 feet from where the hell I was standing.
Wow. Oh.
So you see what I mean when I say war, surviving a war is not a matter of skill,
yeah.
it's a matter of luck.
Right, right.
Because if that damn bomb had gone off, again I probably wouldn't have been talking to you.
No, no, not at all.
But it didn't.
Did you ever tangle with night fighters when you were in the Mosquitoes?
Oh, no, but I'll tell you what happened one night. It was quite a bit towards the end of the war.
Yeah.
And we were, where the devil were we bombing? Oh, I don't know, somewhere in the Ruhr.
Yeah.
You know, we thought we were pretty fireproof in the Mosquito.
Yeah.
And nothing went as fast as we did. Well, we were running up on the target, and suddenly out of the starboard window I said to my navigator, what in the devil is that? It was a big flame going past about 100 miles an hour faster than we were.
Oh, right.
And he said, I don't know. So we went back and reported this. Nobody let on that they knew what it was. But what it was an ME-263. And
yep.
He was coming, he'd been vectored onto us, obviously, and he was coming along, but he was going so fast he couldn't actually turn on to us and to get a shot at us.
Right. Wow.
He went past about, 50 yards, or maybe 100 yards. On our right.
Wow.
But he obviously, you know, he'd been vectored on.
Yeah.
But he couldn't actually get a sight on us.
Right, right. So that was the jet aircraft, wasn't it?
Eh?
That was a jet aircraft.
That was a jet, yes.
Yeah.
You see, and this is what we couldn't understand. We didn't know anything about this.
No.
And nobody told us they had jet fighters. And we didn't know what the devil it was.
Wow.
He never fired a shot or did anything. But that was the only encounter I had. But I'll tell you something else which you might find interesting.
Yeah.
We used to normally bomb from 32,000.
Yeah.
Occasionally 34, occasionally 28. But basically 32,000.
Right.
Now, I was hit on one run down onto Cologne. I wasn't hit, the aeroplane was hit.
Yeah.
Four times, and we were over 10 tenths cloud at 32,000 feet and doing about 400 miles an hour.
Wow.
And they hit us four times.
Talk about lucky shots.
Well, it was damn good shooting, I thought.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, those boys were good.
Yeah.
The flak gunners were really good.
Right.
And when they got a stray target all on its own, they really had a go.
Yes, yeah. All right. Did you ever...
I mean, it didn't do any real damage. They were just splinters.
Yes, yeah.
The big problem with them was they used to always miss ahead of you so that you could see it.
Yeah.
And we devised a set of blinds in the Mosquito that we could put up so we didn't see the damned flak.
Okay.
And if you didn't see it, you didn't worry about it. See what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
All right?
Yeah.
Now...
The last question I have is, did you ever put any nose art or nicknames onto your aircraft?
No.
No, okay.
No. No, we did not.
Right.
They were just battle wagons,
yeah.
As we were concerned.
Yep, yep. Yeah, fascinating
now,
stuff.
Now, mind you, in a Mosquito at night, to be perfectly honest, we were pretty fireproof.
Right, right.
I mean, what was it? The squadron lost, the 105 lost 10 or 15 aircraft, I think.
Right.
Over about 3 years. Wait a minute. 40, half of 47. Half 45. About 3 years.
Right.
No. Yeah, about 3 years we lost about 10 or 15 aircraft.
That's a pretty good rate when you look at the other bomber squadrons, isn't it?
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah.
I mean, tour was 30 ops and it was highly unlikely
yeah.
that you made it through 30.
Yeah.
So there you are.
Yeah. Oh, fascinating stuff. Thank you very much for talking to me today. It's been really, really interesting.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'll let you know what happens with the mosquito when it gets...
Please let me know what happens to the mosquito because I want to go and sit in it.
Yeah, absolutely. I certainly will.
Okay.
Okay, thanks very much, Tom.
All right. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. All the best.
That was the Wings Over New Zealand show with Dave Homewood.
This is Warbird Radio.
I've always wanted to have a huge package.